This is the Prophet's Corner, uncut. And the date is 2/25/17. We're going to look at a couple of words of the Lord. The first one is called, "You're fired." Kind of like our president, you know, the apprentice. You're fired. The Lord's saying to you today, you're fired. And I'll qualify what I mean by that. The Lord says, stop trying to do my job. You're fired. Many today that have asked me for things are discouraged and so have even given up. They think that I have let them down. Nothing could be further from the truth. I am overseeing everything that concerns them. I have a plan. That's the problem, you see. Man has a plan, and it interferes with my plan. As long as man plunges ahead with his plan, I cannot execute mine. Great victory, yes, a hundredfold harvest comes for those who learn to wait for it. Meaning, resting and letting me call the shots. I'm on the job, and you can depend on me. Just let go of it and let me handle it. Most would have no problem doing this with some expert of the world, like a doctor or a lawyer or a banker. They'll give their full trust and support to them just based on their word. Men break their words, but not me. My words are eternal, and they always accomplish the purpose they are sent for. Oh, thank you, Lord. Wait for my word, my instructions, and in the meantime, rest. I'm on the job, whether a parent or not. You can trust me. Don't be like the child that plunges ahead without thought, saying, I did it myself. We all know that, raising little kids. Mine, do it myself. This has been the problem all along. Let me do my job as the Lord of the harvest. You are fired. Chill. Rest. Wait for it. Change your perception. This is imagine is what he said. All the things that you face, the fields in your life, some look barren, some a little shows, some a lot shows. I illustrated this while ago in the teaching. The field with nothing showing yet is not a failure. The field with a lot of growth isn't complete yet either. There is just in different stages of growth. Each field has already received. Now I want to give you an illustration. Many, many years ago, the Lord gave me this illustration on faith, and I taught it in the early years. Years ago, we went to the catalog store and we purchased things. If you wanted drapes, you'd go to the catalog store because usually they never carried them in the store, so you had to order them. Then you leave the catalog store, oh, I got new drapes, and blah, blah, blah. You talk about all, you know, your new drapes. Do you have those new drapes? Do you really? No, but you act like you do. There's faith. You go tell everybody. When Jesus raised a little girl from the dead, he told her parents, give her something to eat. Because if you treat her sick, she'll lapse and die again. A story. I believe this was Brother Hagin. Now, if I get it wrong, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Brother Hagin was in a meeting. I guess he was preaching for this other pastor. And there was a lady there at the end of the service that said, my next door neighbor, whoever she was sick. And the doctor says she wouldn't make it through the night. So she asked the whole congregation to pray. So they all prayed a prayer of agreement that the woman would be healed. Well, the Lord healed her. She's out of the woods. And the doctor said, sit her in a chair and let her get some sunshine. And she's going to be fine. She's made it through the worst. Well, the next night, the woman stands up again at the end of the service and says the same thing. Well, we need to continue doing this now. You know, she's been sick and everything. They took that woman right out of faith over into the natural and she died. I mean, whatever you're asking God for, you've put in the order. You've been to the catalog store. and you're just waiting for it. You're waiting for it. And you can tell people, yeah, I got it on order and it's coming. Charles Capps used to say, yeah, faith's coming, faith's coming, faith's coming. He'd pull the, what was it, poison ivy off with his hands, and he said he'd break out again, and he'd put the calamine lotion on again, but he'd say, faith's coming, one day, with his bare hands, he could strip off poison ivy and have no ill effects. But several times, he'd strip it off, and he'd break out and have to use calamine lotion, but he just kept on going to bed and getting up and saying, faith is coming. It's mine. I have it. Till the day that he stripped it off and he knew he had it. That's how it works. Do you have those drapes in your hand? No. You're calling for it. You're calling for it. Matthew 7. What is that noise? I know what it is. It's my hair. Sorry. Forgot my deal. Keep on asking, it will be given you. Keep on seeking. The asking there actually means calling for. So you could say, keep on calling for, and it will be given you. Keep on knocking, it will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on calling for finds. He who keeps on knocking, it will be open. Or what man is there of you, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll hand him a serpent. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good and advantageous things to those that keep on calling for them? There it says asking him, but calling those things that be not as though they were. Okay, now look over to Romans 4. Verse 17. As it is written, I made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead. Like when he looked at that dead planet, or whatever it was out there, that blob covered in water, he spoke to it. He spoke to the non-existent things, as he has foretold and promises that they already existed. So he's the God that calls those things to be not as though they were. Then he goes on to say, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith. See, Abraham kept trying to do it himself. He kept having it, you know, he had Ishmael. He tried to take it, he and Sarah tried to take it into their own hands to fulfill God's promise. And they delayed it. They delayed it because of it. So he's the God that calls things to be not as though they were. He looks at situations and he calls it the way he wants it. In the beginning, God, the faith God, called for what he wanted, not what he saw. Who gives life to the dead and speaks to the non-existent things as if they existed. Keep calling in your crop. Keep calling in what you're believing God for. You can go read Genesis 1, 1 through 3. That's when God said, light be, light was. Keep calling those things which be not as though they are. Don't side in with the circumstances. Keep your faith activated. The harvest is coming. It is coming. That's why he said right here, it will happen if you don't let circumstances come in to get you off of your calling bar. Okay, this is another word. So this one is called the underground church, the undergroundians. The undergroundians. The underground church. I finally figured out what we are. We're part of the underground church. There's an underground church that's all throughout this nation and in the world. There are people that have not been seen before. But they've been alive and strong, and they've been pushed beyond their endurance. They've been trained. They've been forsaken and forgotten by those in the traditional church. But God is building a strong church underground that is about to emerge and about to rise. It's a time for the changing of the guards. And that's, I said, that's us. That's us. We've allowed the Lord to test us and try us and get us to where we're worthy. That we're not going to back down. I have a church that is mighty and they are thriving. But it is not visible as a whole yet. You know what? I got to thinking about this and I said, Lord, we are so privileged to be part of this underground church. For so long, we felt like we were made fun of and we didn't fit in the traditional church and we felt like we were wrong. But God did us a favor, pulling us out of it and training us all these years. He had a plan all along. We just didn't understand it. But it's the truth nonetheless. These are the ones that are following me and have not compromised. It is raising up for all to see. I wrote here Tommy Hicks and Kenneth Hagin's prophecies about the end time harvest, the people that would be on fire and be bold and take the gospel. That's this underground church. As I said to you before, it happens in the spirit first and then in the natural. You're seeing the shift begin in the church, in your government, in your land. It will increase and the false compromised church will decrease. My church will become stronger and stronger until my house has been completely cleansed. You're seeing and will continue to see this through your land as you have been calling for it. The things we've been praying about and calling for to change. I said I was cleaning house in the church first, then government and media and professional sports. All the false gods are coming down and your land will be great, greater, greatest. As I said, 2018, ka-ching. You're already seeing that happen. The church in this nation is moving into a time of the wealth transfer that you've heard about most of your life. Not just money and possessions, but in your bodies as well. The rich, let's see. Oh, the Lord gave me a new spin on the wealth transfer. He said a lot of this is going to be actors and big dogs that get born again and they want to fund the gospel. That's how the transfer will take place. Not so much it'll come directly into our hands, it may just come into the ministry to take the gospel. Supernatural youth renewal and longevity, not to just get things started, but to complete them. Live long enough, strong enough to see it to the end like Moses. Get things started, but to complete it. I will give back to you the years that you have been farmed in secret, just like Moses. In other words, the 40 years on the backside of the desert that he was trained, God gave it back to him. He died at 120. When a culture returns to God, with it comes revelation and creativity. Inventions in the natural realm, never seen before. Breakthroughs in medical science, really every area. The 7 years of flourishing and prosperity in Egypt will only be a drop in the bucket compared to this time. Then the perilous times will come and then the end. It's for this great end time harvest. That's why God's doing what he's doing. Plow your field. Don't look to anyone else's field unless I lead you to, for each one has a different part to play, like the ear or the arm. But all will be needed to complete the work. Don't judge your brother. Let them sow their field. Pray for them. Lift them up. Complete the work. This is the unity of the Spirit, my body working and each part functioning. In other words, there's going to be a lot of people out there that have different calls and we'll think, well, you're not following God because you're doing it different than us. And the Lord just says, that's not right. The eye functions different from the ear or the arm or the foot. Jesus is the head. You know, our brain, different parts of the body, it's all from brain signals, but they all have different functions. And so don't judge your brother. Don't judge what they're doing. Plow your field. That's the way he meant for it to be all along. I think that's what got us into trouble. I think that's what got the church complacent. Because anybody and everything, they're listening to everybody. in everything, and it just brings confusion. But if you're focused on your field and staying in your field and doing exactly what God called you to do, you'll stay on track. It'd be impossible for you not to. The few years left will pass quickly, and I will be coming for you. Take courage, my undergroundians. All the reports you're seeing these days are coming to an end. The greatest days of my church begin. My undergroundians will be moved into key positions to fulfill my missions. It will be mission possible. Prison to the palace. This is how it will be with a mission just like Moses, to save lives, snatch many out of the fire. The greatest harvest souls the world has ever seen. I love the world and gave my life for it. I'm not asking you to do that, but I'm asking you to love one another. This is how they will know that you are mine. We're not to go love the world. It doesn't say we love the world. It says God so loved the world. But it says they'll know we are his disciples by the love we show to one another. Okay. The changing of the guards, the new era. Ezra and Nehemiah. I was thinking about Cyrus. See, Cyrus, if y'all want to read about that, we're not going to do it this morning. It's been prophesied that Donald Trump was a Cyrus. Isaiah 45 talks about it. And what did Cyrus do? He came in and overturned the Babylonian. See, the children of Israel had been in captivity 70 years, and he came in, annihilated that, gave all the resources back to the Israelites, or the church, to go in and take their land back. You see, that's what's happening with the church. Exactly. We've needed a Cyrus to come in. Loose the bowels of kings is what it says. You know what that means? Means they need a diaper. That's what happened with Belshazzar. The handwriting on the wall, it says his bowels were loosed. In other words, he lost control, scared to death. See, God is moved Donald Trump in to start rearranging all this, give the church back the things that have been held back from the church, giving Israel back, you know, they're fixing to move that embassy in May instead of next year. They're going to, this May. This is what he's doing. And then Ezra, he went in and started doing the foundations, laying new foundations. And this is where we come in, Ezra's. The Ezra anointing, if you want to say that. Laying new foundations. The church like no one's ever seen before. A church full of power. A church that takes the gospel. A church that we see the miracles that they did in Acts. We see the miracles that Jesus did in this church. Laying the foundations. Then Nehemiah, what did Nehemiah do? Built the walls. You got to lay a foundation first before walls can be built. They'll be the ones that will go out because they've been trained. They've had the good foundation laid in them. They're not just sitting around waiting for somebody to tickle their ears and just go home and say, well, I've appeased my guilt for a week. No, they're sitting there being trained. They're getting a good foundation laid in them so they can go out and build walls. The Lord said, this ministry is anointed to bring down strongholds, to set the captives free, to bring people out of captivity. I never heard the Lord say that to me before. This ministry has the anointing on it to bring down strongholds. If we hadn't proved that for ourselves, I don't know how you could prove it to anybody else. We've seen it happen in our own lives. This is why we get demonic reactions from people sometimes. You started coming against bringing the light onto a stronghold. Who do you think has a stronghold? A lot of people have fortresses. Talks about the strong man. He's stolen all your goods. And when the stronger than he comes. So when you come up against somebody that's got a fortress in their mind of strongholds, and you start bringing the light, what do? They start reacting. Happened to Jesus? Happened to Paul? I said, well, I hadn't thought about that, Lord. You know the bread guy? I go down the aisle now, even if he's standing there, and he looks at me like this. Well, you know what? I sent the angels after him. Shut that mouth. Don't let him say a word. It's like he's standing there, and he just don't know what to think.
I love it.
I did too. Call him the Pillsbury Dough Demon. Well, for whoever's listening to this tape, I'll tell the first part of the story. I was shopping there one day, and I'm walking down the aisle, and this guy's putting out bread, and he starts hollering at me, yelling at me, "Why don't you ever smile?" And I'm just going, "What? I don't even know he's talking to me." And I thought, "Who do you think you are?" And I'm going, "I don't even know you. What right have you got to talk to me like that?" And so when I got home, it rattled me, and I thought, "What in the world?" He said, "You need to smile so I won't be afraid." And I just looked at him. I said, "You better be afraid." You know what? Now he's going, "I'm afraid." I said nothing. But anyway, Lord told me later, he said, manifestation of demons. I mean, when Jesus went about, you know, somebody he'd going to minister to, they'd yell out, "Jesus, you're the Son of God. Are you going to torment me before the time?" He'd say, "Shut up." I'm telling you, I would have never thought about it this way. Now I understand why people want to revolt, maybe sometimes, or run, because you're shining the light on darkness. And when you shine a light in the darkness, what happens? Here come the bugs. Okay. The captor, the devil, doesn't want to loose their house. When you start bringing the word, those strongholds start getting hammers. That devil's in there, and the hammers are hitting, and he's mad because he's watching a ball game, and you're going to strip his ball. Probably the NFL. But anyway, that's what's happening. All right. When Jesus spoke, when he was baptized by John and he went into the temple, he stood up and he proclaimed liberty and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to set the captives free." He had that anointing. Paul had that kind of anointing, the slave girl. That girl followed them. "These servants are they're of the Most High God." I'll do the wicked witch thing that I usually do, but she followed him, it said, for weeks. Till Paul heard by the Spirit, discerned by the Spirit, that it was a devil, and turned and cast it out. I'm thinking, they kind of overplay their hand, don't they? They show themselves, see? They manifest themselves. I've had this happen on numerous occasions over the years, and I'd get around people that you just knew. I wasn't looking at a person. I was looking at something else. Just the way they acted, just kind of, it's kind of creepy, but we know what's happening at least. Demons manifested when Jesus taught and ministered. But Mark 16 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." This was as much a part of Jesus' ministry as healing was. See? He cast out devils. Paul had the same thing happen to him when they got thrown in jail. You know, Paul, his constant attacks were from demonic forces. He was attacking the darkness. That the disciples, he's getting thrown in jail and stuff. The Pharisees coming against him. The religious leaders of the day of Jesus' day conspired with the Romans to kill him because they couldn't. See, it was devils. Devils. Stirred up the people. Some people have fortresses built in their minds. One time, I had a hairdresser. I used her for many years. I really liked her. But I tried for many years to penetrate this woman, and it was like she was walled in. You ever come up against a person where there just seems to be nothing? It's just, ugh. Yeah, they're completely walled in. Or walled off to where no light can get in. And that's what this ministry is about, is bringing those strongholds down. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we do have reactions sometimes, because that's what happens whenever light hits darkness. They react.